We're going to remember the Lord and His resurrection this morning. Actually, we're going to go back into the book of Hebrews, which we've been going through for several weeks, months now. And it so happens that our passage, as we make our way through Hebrews, today's passage, focuses on the resurrection. So, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day arise. Those words were spoken by angels to just a few women who had made their way through the early dawn to a tomb. And they were expecting to bring their spices to the dead body of Jesus. And when they arrived at the tomb, no Jesus. Remember how he told you? And they hear those words from the angels, and they remember. And so they leave the tomb, and they leave the tomb trembling, trembling with fear and joy. The women remember. This morning, we remember. That's the occasion, that's our focus this morning, to remember as those women remembered what had been spoken about Jesus. So, right now, if you could all please rise again. Don't resume your conversations, but let's proclaim together the Lord's victory. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
One more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. And have a seat. Father, we do celebrate this morning because of this earth-shaking, world-changing, life-changing, heart-transforming reality of Christ risen. We rejoice in that, and we look to you this morning to pierce our hearts freshly, stir our hearts, lift our hearts to yourself, that you might be honored and that we might be set apart all the more for you. Amen. The book of Hebrews was written to Christians, Christian Jews actually, Jewish Christians, who were suffering. They were suffering greatly, beaten down under the problems and pressures and troubles of their lives, persecution even. How could they not sink? How could they not just fall or flounder or even give up on their faith? The book of Hebrews gives answers to those questions. How could they not sink? Well, it's Jesus. And it's gospel. And it's faith. Those three, Jesus, gospel, faith, those are prominent themes in the book of Hebrews all the way through, but especially in chapter 11, which we're looking at again this morning, faith comes into focus. Jesus, gospel, faith, really all one and the same answer. But here in chapter 11, the focus is explicitly on faith. And Mike, last Sunday, I think it was last Sunday, started us through that chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews. And we're going to jump over to the last section of it and read from verse 32 through verse 40. And this is the catalog of faith heroes that begins earlier in the chapter and continues now with these final nine or so verses. And this is chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. The theme is faith. But what kind of faith are we talking about here? What is this faith? That's what we'll look at this morning. And here's kind of the overview. God gives promises. He gives promises that are rooted in the resurrection of Christ. And these promises call for a response. They call for a response from you and me. And the response they call for is faith. I believe. Lord, I believe. So, do you believe? Here are some promises. Do you believe them? Jesus is better than life. His love is better than life. Life with Jesus is better than the best that life can offer without Jesus. His love and His life are stronger than death. There's a future resurrection that makes every struggle and sorrow here worth it. Do you believe? Do you take those promises to heart and hold them fast? That's what faith does. Faith receives these promises, lives by them, endures suffering by them, even dies by them. And notice, absent from that list of promises is anything like, life in this world with Jesus will be trouble-free. That's not one of the promises. All right, consider these Hall of Faith men and women that are mentioned in this passage that we just read. It's kind of fun to guess, who's he talking about? Some conquered kingdoms. Well, clearly, that would be King David, preeminently. Others might qualify, such as Jephthah or Samson, maybe. Gideon. Some stopped the mouths of lions. Daniel, right? Daniel in the lion's den. You could make a case, perhaps, for Samson stopping the mouths of lions, or David in his shepherding stage. Some quenched the power of fire. Well, that would be Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace. Some put foreign armies to flight. Certainly Gideon would qualify there, among others. Some were made strong out of weakness. Gideon, again, Barak. Even Samson, at a certain point in his career, was very weak and then restored to strength. David, even. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Well, that's a clear reference to a couple of women that we read about in 1 and 2 Kings. There's the widow of Zarephath. Her son dies. God brings that son back to life out from the dead using Elisha. Or Elijah, rather, as his prophet. And then there's the Shunammite woman during Elisha's ministry. And her son dies. God raises him back from the dead, restores him to his mother using Elisha. These are all good outcomes, great outcomes that we can marvel at and should. These men and women of faith cry out to God. God brings deliverance in response, victory, success. And in our own context, even in these days, we have similar stories that we hear about. Maybe stories like this, or you've been in close connection with people who have experienced such deliverance or success or victory in response to their cries of faith or their prayers. A Christian comes down with some terminal illness. The doctor says, you've got 1 month to live. So he prays. Prays fervently. Maybe his family gathers around him, friends gather around him and pray and pray and pray. And God hears. And God gives healing. And he's disease free. Amazing. Or a Christian business. The proprietor. Things are going sour. The business is sinking. The business is near death. And the owner prays. And he has a prayer team praying. And he cries out and he works hard. And there's a miraculous, seemingly miraculous turnaround. Or your favorite college basketball team is down by 18 points at halftime. And the players all get together with every one of the coaches in the locker room during halftime and they cry out to God in the name of Jesus, Lord, whatever the outcome, we want to honor you the way we play. Our hearts are for you. Your reputation is at stake here. May we rejoice as we enter onto the court for the second half. Glory to you. And God does something amazing. Huge comeback, and they win by 12 points. We love these stories. We love those stories. There is glory that comes to God. Not all faith stories, however, end this way. And that is one of the central points in this section at the end of chapter 11 in Hebrews. If you look at the list of examples, heroes of the faith, in this section, there are really two lists. And up here you'll see them. One is in blue, the other is in red. Group one, the blue list, these are success stories. We read through them. These are stories of deliverance and victory where God truly comes through in a wondrous way. Either he directs circumstances in order to bring deliverance or victory, or there's an outright miracle, a truly supernatural occurrence. Group two, what about that group? The ones in red here, are these failures? There's suffering here and defeat and exile and torture and death even. So where's God? Consider verse 35, for example, in Hebrews 11. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release. This is almost unquestionably a reference to the extra-biblical book of 2 Maccabees, which recounts some of the historical events between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that period that's of centuries where it seemed like God was silent. But here, in the book of Maccabees, 2 Maccabees, I think it's chapter 7, there's a story of a Jewish mother, her seven sons, and this is during the reign of the Greek king Antiochus Epiphanes, who was virulently anti-religion. And they are threatened, these seven sons threatened with torture and death if they refuse to recant. Specifically, they were commanded to eat pork against their ancestral laws, and they refused. And so they're all gathered about, and their mother is there, And the first one is tortured and put to death. Actually, it's a very gruesome description. They are tortured in diverse ways. They are dismembered, and then they are torched alive until they die. These brothers were put to death one at a time, one after the other. The mother, all watching on as it happened, and the mother, meanwhile, was urging and urging, hold true to your faith. Do not break your Lord's law. Honor him. And they did. So that's, some were tortured, refusing to accept release. They had the opportunity, but they wouldn't deny their faith. What's the point? The point is their great faith. Their faith was great. Glory to God. So, similar stories. Verse 36 refers to mocking and flogging and chains and imprisonment. All many different stories of God's people might be in view there, but the point is, all of them endured. They endured mistreatment, extreme suffering in some cases, by faith. It was their faith that allowed them to do that. Verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn in two. Those are references most likely to the deaths of two of the great prophets, Jeremiah and Isaiah. Jeremiah, according to tradition, was stoned to death. Isaiah, according to tradition, was sawn in two. What is the expected response when we hear that, we read that? The expected response is amazement. We should marvel at their faith, not just be grossed out. We should marvel at their faith. What faith? If anything, the ones who are stoned or sawn in two or tortured, put to death, we should consider them more admirable. Their stories are more amazing because their faith does not fail. They hold on to God. They trust Him even through these extremities of misfortune. Note in both of those two lists, the blue and the red, there's a reference to the sword. Verse 34 refers to those who, through faith, escaped the edge of the sword. Verse 37, again, these are faith heroes. Verse 37 refers to those who were killed with the sword. Some escaped, some were killed. Sometimes through faith, God works circumstances for deliverance. He even works miracles sometimes. Other times, by faith, God sustains His people through their sufferings, even to the point of death. In Acts chapter 12, we can see again this contrast between those who escape the edge of the sword and those who are killed by the sword. Acts chapter 12, the context is explosive gospel. Obviously, we're into the Christian church era. Explosive gospel spread. And the church is just spreading out, and the kingdom of Christ is expanding rapidly. Well, King Herod arrests James, one of the apostles, brother of John. He arrests him and puts him to death by the sword, it says in Acts chapter 12. Next verse, we have an account of Peter also being arrested by Herod, probably with similar intentions, putting him to death by the sword. But Peter's there in prison. The believers pray and pray. They pray through the night. And we have that account, a rather astonishing account, because an angel appears in the prison, appears to Peter in his jail cell, wakes him up, escorts him out through the prison, along the corridors where the guards are present and sleeping, out through the gates of the prison, which open of their own accord. Peter is saved from the sword by his faith. So, what do you make of that? Did James lack faith? Not at all. Faith is the constant. The outcomes differ. In verse 39, we read, all of these are commended through their faith. All of them, Group 1 and Group 2, the blue list and the red list, all are commended through their faith. They are all models of faith. Some are faith, some are spared suffering by their faith, some pass through suffering by faith. Johnny Erickson Tada, whom many of you are familiar with, her life story, when she was 17 years old, she dove into the waters of the Chesapeake Bay, and the waters were more shallow than she thought. She hit bottom, and her spine broke in two places. She was paralyzed from the shoulders down for life. At a certain point, after that, she was confronted by a faith healer who told her, appealed to her, ask God to heal you and believe with all your heart that He will, and you will be healed. Implication, if you're not healed, it's your fault. You're not believing Him, or not, your faith is not sufficient. So, I would say, fortunately, she didn't buy into that theology. She lived a life of faith, has lived a life of faith. She's still alive. She's about my age. And it's been a very difficult life, full of pain, full of hardship, inconvenience, but it's been a life of faith and a beautiful life. And millions of Christians have been helped and inspired by her books and her talks and her testimony. Great glory to God has come through her life. So faith, working in her case, as we've seen also in some of these heroes of faith in God's Hall of Faith, faith works. Even and especially in the course of great suffering. There is a common future that awaits all who believe. And all of these people that are mentioned in the Hall of Faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews, all of them look forward to something. It's alluded to twice in this passage that we've read. Back in verse 35, it says, some were tortured, refusing to accept release. Again, the reference to the seven sons and the mother. So that they might rise again to a better life. Literally, the Greek is, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. That they might obtain a better resurrection. A resurrection that is better than the son of the Shunammite woman, better than the resurrection of Lazarus. Those are mere resuscitations. Temporary restoration to a life that is still subject to sin and suffering. And where they would still have to go through dying. A second time, imagine that. Verses 39 and 40, all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. There's a something better that all of these faith heroes looked forward to. They weren't exactly sure what it was. They had a general idea, but it was a little bit fuzzy around the edges. They looked forward to something better. It was a something better they did not yet have, but we do. In large measure, we have it. And we look forward to it in greater fullness. They had shadowy glimpses of it. Well, for us, it's bright and shining. So what is this something better? It's anticipated in the Old Testament. Abraham receives his son Isaac back alive from the altar of sacrifice. Jonah is disgorged from the dark belly of the large fish into the light of day. Women receive back their dead by resurrection, as we've read about. The prophet proclaims, "Your dead shall live. Their bodies shall rise." It's Isaiah chapter 26. This something better is also pictured all around us. We can see it today. Our eyes are open. We have glimpses, pictures of this something better. Glimpses of this something better. Out of the darkness of winter, spring breaks loose. Where is it today? Night gives way to the rising sun. The butterfly emerges from the casket-like cocoon that it spends the winter in. Grains of wheat sprout from the dark soil. All of these things, we could go on and on. Pictures, glimpses, kind of the fringes of this something better, this reality that the heroes of faith look forward to and that we know about. We have more than hints and glimpses. What was hidden from the faith heroes of old has been revealed. And this is it. God came down into our realm of darkness. Born a man. He walked among us. He went to a cross bearing our sins. He suffered a violent death in our place. And up from the grave he arose. And he appeared to his followers, and he gave them a mission, and he ascended to heaven, and there he reigns and intercedes for them, for us, and he prepares a place for us. Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" That is a hinge promise. We can call it a hinge promise because you believe that, then everything else follows. We have, because it's happened, we look back to it in history, we have this resurrection boost to our faith. That those heroes of faith of old did not have. Jesus rose, and so shall I. Jesus rose, and so shall you, if you are his follower, his believing follower. Some of us need to rethink our understanding of faith. Be sure that your faith is in Jesus, not in some desired outcome at any particular point in your life or some agenda that you have for Jesus. Is your faith in Jesus and not in your agenda for him? Do you believe? And by the way, the problem that the followers of Jesus had, the disciples had, why were they were just totally demoralized, dismayed, broken by the resurrection of Christ. I'm sorry, by the death of Christ, the crucifixion, and by his death, they gave up. It's over. The problem was they just didn't have in their understanding of Jesus any place for this death, this resurrection, this death-resurrection sequence wasn't part of it. Even though he had told them, their minds were darkened. They didn't understand. It's the same with us. So, do you believe that Jesus is better than life? Do you believe that he is better than, his love is better than life? Do you believe that life with Jesus is better than the very best that this life without Jesus has to offer? Do you believe that His life and His love are stronger than death? Do you believe that there's a future resurrection that makes every struggle and sorrow here worth it? Look at Jesus, the living one. Look at Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. And He rose. And for the joy set before you, endure your crosses, little crosses, great crosses in your life. Endure by faith, with your eyes and your heart fixed on Him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, thank you for examples from the past, faith heroes whom you point to and you say, be like this. We praise you for their faith, that you sustained them in faith and brought them into great victories and carried them through great suffering, even martyrdom. Thank you for their example. We offer ourselves to you as your followers, some here perhaps not yet. But Lord, thank you for your gift of faith. Help us to fix our eyes on you and live by faith. In Christ, amen.